Hey guys, this is Rick Godwin, pastor of Summit Church here in San Antonio. Thanks for joining us today. You know, we're excited to have you on our podcast. Our goal is to inspire you and to challenge you and help everyone realize their full potential in Christ. Now enjoy the message.
Let's talk today about creating your future, not somebody else, but creating your future. And if you're a young adult in here, for God's sake, tune in and listen, because you have the power, the ability, and opportunity to create the kind of a future that you want. That means we humans have the capacity to affect change that somehow, in the most extraordinary ways, humans are designed to create futures. That's what I really want to focus on this morning, because most people don't really understand how the future happens, and maybe you've got one of those superstitious views about the future. And then a lot of people add God language to their superstitions, and they go, you know, Rick, the future just happens, or the future's just in God's hands, or whatever will be, que sera, sera. It's in God's control. I don't have any control over that. That must have been what God wanted to have happened, really. Well, let's just see if we can knock that down this morning. I want you to realize you are designed by God to create your future. And even if you're here and you don't believe in God, think about this just for a moment. Of all the species on planet Earth, we humans are the only species that can affect the future. Whether you love horses or porcupines, they can never make a choice that creates a different future. So if we're just a more advanced expression of all those species on planet Earth, how in the world is that possible? How did it happen that humans can actually create futures? And in fact, not only can we create a future for ourselves, but we create a future that impacts everyone else. It not only impacts humanity, it impacts every other species on this planet. The entire planet Earth is dependent on the choices we humans make. The fish that swim in the ocean, the birds that fly in the air, all the creatures that walk on the ground of planet Earth are all at the mercy of the choices we humans make. I am not at the mercy of a choice a horse makes. So right now, think about it. Somebody is creating a future that you and I will have to live in. So the question really isn't, can humans create futures? The question is, what kind of a future will you create, even for yourself? The future belongs to women and men who have the courage to create what they could only imagine. So I want us to go back to words from Solomon, Ecclesiastes chapter 11. And even though the principles that Solomon uses in these scriptures are timeless and eternal, his metaphors and images to illustrate the principle are kind of time-dated. In other words, we would use perhaps a different image, but the principle stays the same. So sometimes what old Solomon says can seem disconnected from our reality. So in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, Solomon writes these words. Ship your grain across the sea. After many days, you will receive a return. Invest in 7 ventures, yeah, in 8. You do not know what disaster may come upon the land. If clouds are full of water, they pour rain on the earth. Whether a tree falls to the north or to the south, in the place where it falls, there it will lie. Whoever watches the wind will not plant. Whoever looks at the clouds will not reap. So I want you to see that in these images, Solomon's giving us insight into the choices we all need to make to create the future we want. So I'm going to pay attention. And you have within you the capacity to affect the future, to create a future. The question is not whether you're capable of it. God designed you for it. So the question is whether you will step into it and find the resolve, the courage, the faith to create what only God could imagine for you. So Solomon begins by saying, ship your grain across the sea. After many days, you will receive a return. Now, they can actually translate that, cast your bread on the water, and after a season, it will give you a return. So maybe you can see the connection between put your grain on a ship, send it out to sea, and cast your bread upon the water. But a clearer translation simply says, be generous and someday you'll be rewarded. That sums it up much briefer. So what Solomon is actually saying is the future belongs to the bold. So you need to do as much good as you possibly can. So you're designed in such a way that everything you have is now a stewardship in your life. It's in your hands. So why does he use this metaphor? Well, he's telling us that the grains we have, we need to put it on a ship, send it to sea. Now, that's a bit clunky for us. Remember, their understanding of the sea was different than ours. We can fly across the world now. You can be in London from Dallas in 8.5 hours. You can be in Sydney, Australia from Dallas in just 17 hours. Ask me about it. You can go to Tokyo or India, and you can cross every ocean. There's no ocean on this planet we can't cross in a day's time. But in the time of Solomon, if you put your grain on a ship and you sent it out to sea, that ship would go past the horizon, and you didn't know whether that ship would ever come back. So you need to take the chance of taking what you have and sending it so far away to do good that you have no guarantee of when or where that return will come. So what he's actually telling us is that we need to have a generous spirit. And in fact, every interpretation of this particular passage for the last 1,000+ years was that Solomon is saying we need to learn to be generous with what we have. So however it was translated, they always understood God was trying to create a culture of generosity or a race of generosity. Not a race of color, but a human race redeemed by Jesus that took from what we had or had been given and did not think it was all for us, but knew it was a stewardship for us to do more good in the world. And he says that after many days, not a couple of days, America, but after many days. In other words, we don't know how many days. It could be so many days they turn into weeks, or those days turn into months, or those days turn into years, and maybe even those days turn into a lifetime. But after many days, you'll receive a return. So you need to live your life, Solomon's saying, knowing that when you choose to live a life of generosity, you're actually creating momentum in the universe and that it will return to you good. So as a church, we've been putting our grain on ships a long time and sending it out to sea. We have been taking what God's been doing in us and doing for us, and we've been giving it away to the world. We didn't know where it would end up, where it would go, what kind of an impact it might have, even in other parts of the world. We just knew that if we did good, it would cause more good to happen across the world. But I want you to know Solomon was right, because he says after many days, you may receive a return. And maybe not till heaven in some cases. That'll do. So we're going to put our grain on the ships and send it out to sea. Well, for example, live stream, different charities we support, different causes we support. And we can't do it thinking, well, this is what we're going to get back if we do that. That's called an investment. Now, investments are not wrong. They are not bad at all. But when you're investing, it's not the same as generosity. Generosity is a commitment to send it on the ship past the horizon saying up to God, you know, I'm doing good with no expectation of when or where or how I'll get a return. Because I believe this principle that you've created in the universe, so when I do good, it causes good to return. So let me ask you, are you doing as much good as you can? I hear people critique what other people do all the time. Well, they don't have the right strategy. I remember when the Red campaign came out several years ago, when Bono with U2 was trying to do so much good dealing with AIDS and HIV. Everybody was critiquing his plan and critiquing his strategy and saying how it doesn't work. And you know what I find? Maybe you too. The people who critique what other people are doing are often doing nothing. And so let's just say up front, we can't solve every problem. We may not be able to impact all the problems of the world, but just because you can't fix everything doesn't mean you shouldn't do something. So what's the good you're doing right now? Are you committed in your life to do the most good you can? And as a community, the body of Christ, I remember when we made the hard decisions of investing so much of our resources because of the change coming in our culture and back during the pandemic with our live stream and in our podcast. That took a lot of equipment, a lot of money. And we had to start with just what we had. And we're thinking, oh, this takes so much money and so much work and so much effort. And you know what drove me crazy back then? You get complaints all the time. We do the live stream for free. We do the podcast for free. We're putting our grain on a ship and sending it all over the world for free. And we'd get people back in the early days saying, you know, the sound isn't that great. Well, you know, you could really improve the quality of the picture. Hey, Sparky, we put our grain on a ship. We sent it out to sea. You're consuming what we've been giving, so shut up complaining. I just had to vent a little bit, all right? Now we have great equipment, okay? See, are you doing as much good as you can? See, we can't do all the good that needs to be done, but we can do some of the good, okay? Then he goes on to say, invest in 7 ventures, yes, and 8. You do not know that disaster may come upon your land. You do not know what disaster may come upon your land. I love that statement. It's so simple. It's so simple and optimistic, isn't it? Before I explain what he means, let me pause there for a minute. He doesn't say, you do not know if disaster will come upon your land. He says, you don't know when or what disaster will come upon your land. In other words, do you want a little more certainty about your future? Well, here's some certainty. Disaster's coming. You feel better now that you know? See, you don't know what kind of disaster, but it's coming. Didn't Jesus say, in this world you will have tribulation? Be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. So he says, then get you a strategy. Invest in 7 ventures, yes, and 8. This speaks of diversity. I think it's amazing. Solomon is giving us a principle that's used all the time in investment banking. And if any of you have actually started thinking through your retirement plan, if you have a portfolio, they will tell you you need to diversify your investments. You don't want to put all your eggs in one basket. And the shrewdest investments are the ones that are not connected to the same economic dynamics, like Detroit. Detroit collapsed because it was built only and solely around the automobile. It had no other diversity going on. And so you may have some investments that do really well if real estate's doing well. You may have some stocks that do well at a particular time, or some other investments that are affected by certain aspects of the economy, others that are not affected by that aspect of the economy. So you diversify your portfolio, and that idea did not come from Wall Street. That idea came from Solomon thousands and thousands of years ago. God gave him the wisdom to invest in multiple ventures, in 7, yes, even 8. In other words, as many as you can. You do not know what disaster may come upon your land, so take as much ground as you can. So you want to know who the future belongs to? It belongs to the bold, because they take all the ground they can. They're not putting all their eggs in just one basket. They're not hoping the one thing they're doing will be enough. There's some of you here maybe playing life safe. You're living only one life at a time. That's a waste of a life. You can live multiple lives at one time. You don't have to just be good at one thing. You can be good at a lot of things. You can be a great husband and a great father. And by the way, you can become a great employee and a great employer. You can be great at making money and great at having relationships. You don't have to say, well, I just have to pick one over the other. You need to make sure you diversify your human portfolio, because you never know what disaster may come. Let me pause and say this. You know, this past week I was at the county commissioner's court for their opening and was invited to bring the prayer, which I gladly accepted. And I'm thinking, that's sort of an investment, because when we go to different places or different events and we're asked to speak or pray or something, we're making contact with people who have position and power and some effect that could help us should we have a need. If we just stay in our cocoon, then God isn't going to be able to do much for you. So we diversify. We preach here. We preach online. We're seeing at events. We help. We've done funerals. We've done things for social agencies in the city. What are we doing? We're making contact with people who can answer a problem I might have one day. And because we diversified, we've got access we would normally have. Make sense? Yeah. That's why we need some of you to get in a small group, get in some ministry, build some contacts, diversify, spread yourself out. Somebody next to you may have the answer to your biggest problem in 30 days. But you just sit there like a wooden Indian and leave, then you got no help. You put all your eggs in one basket and you're going to go down when disaster hits. So you never know what disaster may come. So he says, invest in 7 ventures, yes and eight. We're talking about how to create your future. Generosity was one of them. Now diversifying, he says, is another way. Take as much ground as you can. Get involved in as much as you can. See, God's most passionate venture is the human heart. But on a personal level, are you taking all the ground you can, or just sitting back letting other people do the hard work of your life? See, have you been satisfied? Have you justified in your mind, well, I'm doing the best I can, really? If you're doing the best you can, you're still not living the life you were created to live. You're supposed to be doing better than you can naturally. You're supposed to be living a life that can only be explained by the presence and power of Jesus. See, I don't want to live a life that's the best I can do. I want to take all the ground I can take, and I want to live my life in such a way that I know I've taken ground that was impossible for me to take unless God was in it, so that I become proof there's God. Because I couldn't have done it on my own or in my own power. And then he goes on and he says, if clouds are full of water, they pour rain on the earth. Well, whoopee-doo, Solomon. That's a great, obvious, self-explanatory statement. Of course, see? It's so obvious. It's so obvious. You're like, Solomon, tell me something I don't know. You know? What are we staying on this one for, Rick? If clouds are full of water, they pour rain on the earth. Now, what does that have to do with anything, Solomon? What Solomon is doing is he's destroying your superstitious relationship to the future. You don't understand that Solomon understood that the rain only comes because a cloud is full of water. But there are clouds that never bring rain. Proverbs 25, verse 14 says, like clouds and wind without rain is a man who boasts of a gift he does not give. So if you're from Seattle, you only know clouds that bring rain. And if you're from San Antonio, you're wondering what's a cloud in the summer. But I do know that there are some clouds that don't have within them the capacity and right formula to produce rain. So you're supposed to produce rain. Your life does produce rain. And you may be wondering, well, where did the rain come from? And the rain you produce is the result of the water that you carry. And those who create the future understand if you want something to come out of you, you have to get it into you. That only what you have in you can come out of you. See, is what you contain, that's what you rain. Whatever's in you is what comes out. And there's some of you who would never say, you know, Rick, rain only comes from clouds with water. You wouldn't say that, but here's what you would say. How did I get here? How'd this happen to me? I never thought this would be my life. Have you ever used language that's so passive? It's almost like your life just happened to you. See, that's you thinking that clouds rain without water. Well, let me tell you how your life happened. You chose it. Pause. You and I chose it. You wonder how you got to where you are right now. You walked there. You want to know what kind of a world you're creating? It's a world that reflects the world you're creating within you. What's in you is what's going to come out. I hear people complain all the time about violence in the world, all the injustice in the world, all the racism in the world, all the greed in the world. But we don't do anything to change what's going on, because the change that needs to happen out there has to begin first in me. And so if you're filled with bitterness and jealousy and greed and anger, all you're going to produce is acid rain. And you will scorch everything you touch. If the clouds are full of water, what are you full of? What are you raining on the earth or in your home? Or are you just one of those pretty clouds against the blue sky that actually produces no rain at all? See, I think God is looking for men and women who allow themselves to be full of what God wants to rain on humanity. And the scriptures tell us that God rains on the righteous and the unrighteous. So if it's inside of you, it's going to rain on everyone, whether they believe in God or not, whether they agree with you or not. They're going to get wet with what's in you. See, there's some of you, you're just empty clouds right now, or you're just passing acid rain into the world, and you don't realize what's going on inside of you. It's because you're filled with bitterness and anger and fear and guilt or shame and jealousy and greed, and it leaves you kind of fragile and broken. See, those human characteristics don't make you strong. They make you feel strong, but they leave you shattered and broken. You want to know what makes you strong? Several things. Strong love makes you strong. Hope makes you resilient. Courage makes you unstoppable. Faith transforms your life. So what are you full of right now? I'm going to say, I'm going to be so full of faith, I'm going to rain faith on you if you get around me. If not, you're not near me. I don't care what your situation is, what your circumstance is. I've got a bucket load of faith in me to rain on you, that with God, nothing is impossible. I have never been faithless. Cannot believe that. Or there's some of you who came in here filled with despair and hopelessness. I'm just saying, I'm going to be so full of hope that I have more than I can carry for myself. I'm going to rain it on your life. Hope. Maybe a better day tomorrow. Maybe this thing will break. Maybe there's a shelf life. Maybe God can do this and turn it around. That's hope. That's what I want to hear. I don't want to hear these prognostic, well, it's the eclipse came and it's going to be the end of the earth. And we're all, oh, shut up. You haven't helped anybody in the last 50 years talking like that. I am hopeful to the last day of breath on this earth. And I want you to be hopeful. Our future looks bright. Don't you let these prognosticators cloud that, because it draws a lot of attention to themselves. So many of us, we just want to be little clouds. See, clouds never fulfill their capacity, their greatest assignment, their greatest function, the greatest intention, if they just hold the water to themselves. You didn't help anybody. See, that water is supposed to be a gift to the earth. Now, we're talking about how to create your future here. What are you full of? What are you raining on people? See, what about your children? Well, I don't think you'll ever get to school. I don't believe we'll make enough money for it. You know, education's gone. Here you go. Here you go. Just rain that toxic rain on your kids. Well, I don't know if I'll ever be able to afford your wedding. Don't get your hopes up too high. Well, obviously, you don't have any hope at all about what God can do for you. You know, as a giver to the Lord, I have always felt, even when I didn't have any resources, that when the time came for those resources, I'd have them. Because he promised he would do that to that giver. So that I've never had a doubt that somehow he would show up and meet that need. I'm hopeful. We serve the God of all hope, for crying out loud. How can you sit there hopeless? Well, I don't know. Stop it. We're not the church of no hope Christian fellowship. Give me a break. You know how you're full of love? It's because you keep raining love on other people. The way you know you're full of hope, you keep bringing hope to other people. The way you know that you're full of compassion and kindness is you keep giving compassion and kindness to other people. The way you know that your heart is full of generosity is you keep giving more than you take, because you're a cloud full of water. You can help. See, you cannot help but rain. You're full of it. You can't contain it. You have so much. I think God's looking for people who will be full of courage and faith, full of grace and compassion, full of generosity, so they can rain on this dark, dying, barren land, earth. And then Solomon says, where a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where it falls, there it will lie. Well, let me drop the mic. Here again, what's old Solomon doing? See, we should probably just skip this one because everybody gets that one. Well, that explains everything in life, Rick. In fact, tomorrow when you go to work and somebody seems a little distressed, or your boss asks you for something and you don't have an answer for, or if you're married and your wife said, why'd you do that? Or what were you thinking? Just look at them and say, if a tree falls to the north or to the south, where it falls, that's where it lies. And just walk away. Like it's so obvious, they wouldn't dare ask you for an explanation. See? Thank you, Solomon, for telling me something, not only that I already know, but I don't need to know before you reminded me of it. Because where trees fall have no effect on my life. Well, unless, of course, I decide to leave a mark in the world and I want to be part of creating a future. Now, what Solomon is actually saying is trees don't fall in a direction by accident. They fall where they've been cut to fall. Lumberjacks have to learn how to cut a tree so it won't fall on their truck. They have to be taught how to cut a tree so it won't fall on them. They have to be taught how to cut a tree so it won't be life-threatening to the other lumberjacks who are also cutting down trees. There's a right way and a wrong way. You can determine the course, direction of that tree. How many of you guys out on property know that? You can determine the direction that tree is going to fall. See, when you're skilled at this, you know how to cut away at the tree, and it falls exactly in the direction you decide. Some of you, your life is not going in the direction you wanted it to go. You don't know how you got here. You don't know how this happened to you. You don't know how this became your life. See, the tree of your life, it fell in a certain direction because of the choices you've made in your life. It's lying exactly where it is because that's where you chose for it to fall. I think the tragedy of it all is that you may not have understood that as you were cutting and cutting and choosing and choosing and deciding and acting and living, you were actually deciding which direction the tree of your life was going to fall. I don't need a fortune teller. I don't need Miss Cleo to tell me my future. See, there's some of you here, and everything you say is, I want to live a life that reflects God. I want to live a life that God created me to live. But you keep making choices that cause the tree of your life to fall in the opposite direction. Stop acting like it's God's fault that he's not coming through for you. You're doing the chopping. See, stop acting like God's let you down. Your tree is falling south because you've made choices that take your tree to the south. If you want your tree to go north, you're going to have to start making new choices in your life. Can I get an amen? Yeah. See, the people who change the world, the people who create the future, the ones who are bold enough to create the future, they decide where they will leave their mark. And you need to decide where you're going to leave your mark. What are you going to be remembered for? What kind of impact are you going to make in the world? What will your children say about you? What will your friends say about you? I've been to too many funerals in my life where the entire ceremony was a lie about the person who died so that they could be well remembered. I don't want to be that person. I don't want to be the person you have to make stuff up about, that you have to cover things up about so that people in the room can feel good about the life you didn't live. How will you be remembered? Where will your tree fall? It's going to fall right where you choose. It's going to fall in the place where it falls. There it will lie. So don't become angry with God if your life's going in a direction you never wanted because it was the direction you chose. We've all been watching the television, a very talented celebrity O.J. Simpson was gifted, had a Christian mom, had a decent home and upbringing, had great skill and ability God gave him, was a great success, a superstar, played with the Buffalo Bills, made a lot of money, then got into acting and television, made a lot more money, then became a reporter for ESPN doing that, then was running through the airport with Hertz. God gave him everything. He had everything you and I could only imagine. O.J. did not end up in his life the way he intended. I'm sure of it. But he kept making the choices that moved his tree of life in the wrong direction. He didn't get there by accident. He got there by the choices he made. And even God gave him grace in the first trial. He had to pay $33 million, which he never paid, in the civil trial. And then you still get to keep your retirement. Nobody can touch that in the court. Then you're going to go down to Las Vegas and take a bunch of goons and a gun and go in to get your stuff back and hold them captive and make threats and assault and then go to jail. Now you tell me God did that. God did not do that. Those choices of cutting down that tree through his life with arrogance, with entitlement, with the wrong people and the wrong advice and no word in him brought him to a tragic end. And I'll guarantee if we'd have met O.J. when he was at USC, he would never have foreseen the ending of his life like that. And I could name 100 other people. I'm just saying they've been chopping and chopping and chopping, and none of us are going to be surprised about the outcome of how that life's going to go. Some of you, your tree is falling in the wrong direction this morning. It's going backward, and you're going to be trapped in your past rather than forward, creating your future. And I'm so grateful for a God who can bring such a powerful wind that can change the course of where my tree is falling and set it straight again. I can repent, I can call on him, and God can change the course and direction of my life. Somebody asked me, Rick, of all the things you've done in your life, what would you want to be remembered for? That's a tough one. I said, I'd like to be remembered as bringing as many people to God who loves them, to a life-changing relationship with Jesus, so that they're hopeful and optimistic and they have a future and a purpose. I don't want to say, well, I remember all the rules he gave me. No. Because I think there's something inside every one of us in this room that wants to make some kind of a mark. See, my goal in life isn't for people to remember my mark. My goal in life is for people to never forget the mark Jesus made. And there's some of us here, we keep trying to make our own mark, individually, personally, so we can be remembered. Have you ever heard the saying, I think it's kind of epic, you live as long as the last person who remembers you lives. I thought, not as a believer. I reject that. But what about when they all die? Then I stop existing. And then I had this thought. I'm already in the mind of God. God will never forget me. If I live as long as I am remembered, then I still have eternity ahead of me because God will never forget me. And I want you to know something. When you decide to make your mark, living a life defined by God, when you allow his life to become your life, your mark will last for eternity. And then he says this, whoever watches the wind will not plant. Whoever looks at the cloud will not reap. What Solomon is saying is there are some people who never do anything because they just keep looking at the wind. They go, well, you know, it's too windy today, so I'm not going to plant seeds. It's not a good day to get to work. Oh, it's not windy enough. Oh, the sun will scorch the seeds. It won't spread them out properly. Oh, I notice gas is going back up. It's not the right day to get to work. See, there are some who look at the clouds and they say it's going to rain today. Then there are no clouds and it's too hot today. Can't reap. There are some people who keep looking at the wind and they never sow, and they keep looking at the clouds so they never reap, and they keep looking for every excuse to stop living for the life God created them to live. So stop looking for excuses and waiting for the perfect time, because there ain't no perfect time. See, what you need to do is stop looking at the wind, stop looking at the clouds, and look at the opportunity, big or large, right in front of you. You just keep waiting for that break, waiting for your life to take that turn. You keep waiting for that golden opportunity. There's a moment, Rick. There's a moment. I'm going to be all in. You're going to really give yourself. There's that moment when you finally get that opportunity you're waiting for, and you're going to really sacrifice. That's when you're going to pay the price. That's when you're going to be courageous. But that moment's never going to come. Because you just keep looking at the wind and looking at the clouds and just waiting around, using everything as an excuse to live a lesser life than God created you to live. And it's the same way with your relationship to God. It's amazing how many people say, even to this day, one day I'm going to cross that line of faith. I'm going to trust Jesus with everything. Just not today. You know, one day I'm going to take this faith and it's going to be more than talk. It's going to be my walk. But not today. One day I'm going to trust Jesus with every aspect of my life. I'm going to trust Jesus with my relationships. I'm not going to be afraid of being alone because I'm going to trust God and He's going to bring the right person into my life. One day I'm going to trust God with my money. Just not today. But one day I'm going to believe that God is more generous than I could ever be. But not today. One day I'm going to stop drifting around, living my life with no intention and no purpose and no real direction. I'm going to trust God. God's calling in my life, but not today. I'm going to be like Pharaoh. I'm going to live one more night with the frogs. Remember the frogs came? Moses said to Pharaoh, I can get rid of these frogs. And he just said, no, I'll live another night with the frogs. Some of you just keep looking at the wind, looking at the clouds. But Solomon is saying, stop looking for excuses and waiting for the perfect time and get in the game and act and be bold because the future belongs to the bold. I just want to close with this thought. What would happen if we stopped looking at the wind, stopped looking at the clouds, stopped looking at our background, looking at our weakness, looking at what we don't have, and stopped looking at the sun and said, God, how much could you do with me? With my little ordinary life, how much could you do with me? God created every one of you to create. So stop running from your responsibility. Stop running from the privilege God's given to you. Inside of you, everyone here, that's where the future begins. That's why it's so important to get Jesus inside of you. Because when you connect to the God who is the source of everything good, everything beautiful, everything true, now all that is good and beautiful and true dwells within you. Now you're a cloud filled with that beauty and that goodness and that wonder. And there's some of you here right now, and you need to do this in this moment. Not one day, today, this day, this moment. See, it's cross that line of faith and give your life to Jesus to receive His forgiveness, to receive His life in you.
Hey, thanks again for joining us today. If you enjoyed the podcast, subscribe and share it with a friend. Follow me by visiting the links in the description. I'm praying today that God richly blesses you this entire week.